morning, and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
If you're a guest with us, we have been journeying through the book of Habakkuk. My desire this morning is to preach a little and allow the Holy Spirit of God to take His word, the music, the songs, the prayers, and everything to bring glory to Himself. By the time we get to chapter 3 in the book of Habakkuk, we have found this to be the situation. Habakkuk begins in chapter 1 saying that he is burdened. He is burdened over the condition of the land. He is burdened over the condition of the people. Evil seems to be running rampant. Injustice is everywhere. People are not treating people the right way. And Habakkuk looks back, and in his burden, he says, God, none of this makes sense. What are you doing? Why aren't you doing something? You're not listening to me. And so he begins to ask all these questions to God. God, why? Why don't you do something about this? Why do you allow this evil to continue? God, if you are God, do something about this. And it's as if God is not listening to him. But in chapter 1, verse 5, God responds and says, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something. Just you're going to have to stand back and watch and see what I do. And in the midst of all of that, as God begins to unveil his plan that he would use people more evil than the people of Judah to bring judgment upon Judah, it made no sense. That even confused Isaiah more. Habakkuk more. Habakkuk began to say, God, that makes no sense. If you're a just God and a holy God, how would you take people more evil to bring judgment upon other people? And yet Habakkuk comes to one conclusion. God, whatever you do, it will be right. Whatever you do, it will be according to your plan. God, whatever you do, I will trust. And so he decides that he will watch and wait and see what God will do. And as God reveals his whole plan in chapter 2, how he's going to take the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and he's going to use them to just bring to the people of Judah such judgment. And yet in the end, God says, they will not be spared either. I will judge them because they are evil. And so as God reveals his plan, Habakkuk, when we come to chapter 3, Habakkuk finds himself going to the Lord in prayer. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says this, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. I can't even pronounce it. Most scholars, as a matter of fact, all scholars, nobody really knows what that term means. Most believe it has to do with some kind of a musical instrument or perhaps Hebrew poetry like the Psalms, because in the end of this chapter he talks about on the stringed instruments. But he's going to the Lord to pray about this situation, to pour out his heart now in prayer. In the beginning, he was so burdened, he was filled with questions with God. Now he's going to come to God and he's going to ask God or share four things in prayer with God. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, he gives his petition. He says in verse 1 and 2, this is my prayer, O Lord, I've heard your speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known your wrath, remember mercy. His petition is simple. Lord, I know what you're going to do is right, even though I don't understand it, and I submit to your plan. This is going to be according to your plan for our nation and for our lives. So I'm going to submit to that. But notice what he says in verse 2. Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk knew God was going to do what God was going to do. He came to that conclusion. By the way, I want you to know something. God is God. He is going to do what he is going to do. And there's not anything you can do to change that, to thwart that, to stop it. God is God. And Habakkuk, in the testing of his faith, comes to one conclusion. God, you are holy. You are just. You always judge sin. I know you're going to judge the sins of your people. You're going to judge the sins of the nations. And as a result of that, I know that it's right. So I trust you. But God, in your wrath, remember just one thing, mercy. Notice what he didn't ask for God to remember. He didn't say, God, would you remember your people, Israel, that we've been faithful to you because they could not stand on those merits. God, would you remember that we've tried to follow you? That God, would you remember that we're your children and we don't? He didn't ask any of those things. He didn't say, God, we don't deserve that. No. In his prayer to God, his petition to God, he said, God, I've come to conclude you're going to act because you're God. And I'm okay with that. But God, in your wrath, show mercy. Now, there's not a person listening to me this morning. I don't care where you've been with God. You cannot deny the fact that God has always been a God who's shown mercy in your life. No matter how tough the situation was, no matter what you deserved, Habakkuk knew one thing about God. He was holy. He would work. But he wanted him to continue to extend mercy to him and to his people. And God would be faithful in that. In verses 3 through 15, as I quickly run through this chapter without reading it, in order for Habakkuk to be able to receive this and understand that God would show mercy, he goes into this epiphany almost, or it's not an epiphany, I think they call it a theophany. You don't care, and I don't either. I think it's called a theophany. It's almost a vision. He begins to reflect past, and he starts to look forward, and his mind gets wrapped up in the history of the nation of Israel, and he starts recalling, remembering all that God has done in behalf of his people. And you'd have to read those verses, and you're going to say, when I read them, Pastor, it makes no sense. No, because you have to really dig to figure it all out. He goes all the way back, and he says, God, from Mount Sinai, when you revealed yourself on Mount Sinai, we saw you at work in behalf of your people. And he reflects and at times like he's talking about Moses and Pharaoh and the rivers and the partings. And he talks about the judgment of God upon all these nations that have come against Israel in the past and how God had always delivered and always protected a remnant. And he reflects back and he remembers in this testing of his faith that God was a faithful God. And his faithfulness was not based upon their goodness. It was not faith based upon their faithfulness. It was simply based upon the fact that he had made a covenant with Israel, that he would be their God and they would be his people. And the prophet Habakkuk remembers that. And he finds consolation in knowing that God is faithful. He even said by faith in chapter 1, I'll go back there, chapter 1, verse 12, when he's talking about the situation being so dire and so dark and so bleak. In the midst of that, however, he's reminded, he says in chapter 1, verse 12, however, God, I know we will not die. You will not destroy your people. He realizes that God's covenant is in force and God always keeps his covenant, his promises to his people. And so he's comforted in the faithfulness of God. And then in verse 16 is where I want us to get to this morning, verse 16 through the remainder of this verse. As he is praying and he lifts up this petition to God and he's remembering how faithful God has been to Israel, he makes a confession about his flesh. When his faith is tested. I want to read verse 16 and then I would like to ask you if you've ever felt this way. He says in verse 16, when I consider all of this and I know, God, what you're about to do, you've told me what you're going to do. You're going to judge. Things are going to be bad. It's going to be worse then when you do this than it is now. And he says, in my flesh, verse 16, when I heard what you were going to do, God, my belly trembled, the King James says. Here's Roy's translation, my belly hurt. My stomach was in knots. That's what he's saying. My belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. I found myself in the flesh afraid. Rottenness entered into my bones and I trembled in myself. I was so afraid. Trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. God, I know that when you do this, it will be tough. It will be difficult. I'll be weak. My flesh will be weak. I'll be scared in my flesh. Linda said, I love the way she put it, the scarier it gets. I think that's how she said it. The scarier it gets, the more God gives peace. You see, if there's any one thing that we've learned through Habakkuk, it's this. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to be honest with God. It's okay to let God know, God, I'm scared. This situation scares me. My flesh is weak. But Habakkuk's faith was strong. His spirit was strong. And he says, I'll just wait patiently, Lord, for the day when you come to do this in our lives. We've seen this happen over and over in the lives of God's children. We've watched recently in the life of our church many times where we've seen situations that have developed where it made no sense and our faith is tested and we're scared and there are no answers. I'm going to ask this morning if Ryan and Andy would join me at the pulpit. Ryan and Andy Smith, are they out there? Here they come. And I know this is not going to be easy for them. It's going to be hard for me. When we recognize that when our faith is tested and in our flesh we don't understand anything, how do we deal with that? Habakkuk said, God, I'll wait. Even though my flesh is weak, my spirit is strong. Guys, this microphone is on. I'll just ask you to get over close to it. We didn't rehearse this. So I don't know how this is going to go other than trust the Spirit of God. Because it's easy for them, I think, if I just dialogue with you a little bit rather than say, spill your guts, you know, just tell us what's on your mind. Many of you are aware that on March 11th, is that right? On March the 11th, we were here in rehearsal, and Andy and Ryan got a phone call that their precious daughter had been taken in death. Unexpected, there was nothing seemingly wrong, and they got a call that their beautiful daughter was gone in her sleep. Would you say that would test your faith, Andy and Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you felt or in raw transparency? How did that make you feel?
Well, from the start, I didn't understand. I don't know that I ever will understand, but I know that he has a plan. From the very beginning, I asked him just to give me strength, help me to trust in his plan. And he has. I can't express how thankful and grateful that we are for all of the love and prayers and support that we've received from our family, our friends, our church family. God has been so good. I know that I won't understand everything or see everything that he's doing through this, but we have seen some things that he's doing in the lives of the people that knew Kennedy and loved Kennedy, and he's done so many good things, and I know he's going to continue to. And I'm just so thankful that she knew the Lord. Because if it wasn't for that, I don't know how I would face each day.
Okay. As a mom and as a dad, and let me, I'm keenly aware that some of you sitting out here are where they are. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost some teenagers. Some of you recently have lost a granddaughter, a grandson. How did you find God responding to you in this when you went to him, Andy, Ryan, with your questions or whatever? Did you any insight there for us?
He's faithful. He, you know, he's there. He's never left our side, and he is seeing us through. He does give me comfort.
Is there anything at all you want to say? I don't want to keep you here long. I just wanted our people and you to know our prayers continue for you and for your family, for Guy and for Brody and all the extended family. But we've seen God's faithfulness when none of this makes sense. A healthy, beautiful, little bit crazy girl. I say that in love. I loved Kennedy. She was just like a daughter almost to us. And it doesn't make sense. But do you agree that this has to be a part of God's plan?
It's part of his plan. And I know that she's with the Lord. And as much as we miss her, I know that she's not missing this place. I know that she is just surrounded by his perfect love and presence. And the assurance that we have in seeing her again someday.
Andy, so Ryan, you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to just read a verse. Pardon my voice, I lost it. So just bear with me. It's verse 18 in Habakkuk chapter 3. And this is just what we've been doing over the past month. And we've went through this sort of with Gaetano when he lost his dad. The same thing. I mean, all we could do was pray. We were brought to our knees, and at times we couldn't even be with Guy at times, and all we could do was pray. And I mean, that brought us so close with the Lord and strengthened us, and we knew that we had to trust his will and that he's in control. In verse 18, it says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." And we're just trusting in him.
I want us to pray for Ryan and Andy. I know you have been, but just a brief prayer. We love you. We're praying for you, and we're with you. We believe that God's plan makes no sense, but it's a good one. And what he does is right, even when we don't understand any of it. Father, thank you for helping Andy and Ryan. We know they're hurting. We know their belly hurts. They ache. We know their lips quiver. Their bones tremble. We see this situation and our flesh is like that. But we also know that their faith is strong. They have learned what they knew in their head, but they've learned it now with their hearts. That what you do is a part of your big plan for the world to see and to experience the gospel. And sometimes it cost us a lot on this side. But we can thank you in spite of it, knowing that your plans are always good. They're always right. Continue to bless this mom and dad and others who are sitting in this congregation who've gone through and are going through the same thing right now. There could be others who could be standing up here with them. I know that. I know who they are. And I pray for them that your spirit would make them strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. So Habakkuk understood that it was okay to be afraid, for his flesh to fear. And he comes to verse 17, and he concludes this whole book, this little book, by saying this: "No matter what happens, God, I'm going to praise you anyway." He moves from just praying a petition, from just remembering, from just seeking and confessing that he's weak. He moves to praise, and he comes to this one conclusion: "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines." In other words, if we have nothing to sustain us, nothing to feed us, the labor of the olive tree fails, the fields yield no harvest, the flock are cut off from the fold, there are no cattle, no herd in the stalls. Yet, as Ryan said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, the feet of deers. And he will make me to walk upon high places. Habakkuk's praise comes forth from what he has learned about God, that no matter what, he would praise the Lord because, number one, he says, Lord, you're sovereign. God, you are Lord. That means, God, you're sovereign. You make no mistakes. You knew from the beginning to where we are, you are a sovereign God. I'll praise you because you're sovereign. But not only you're sovereign God, you're my strength, he said. You're my strength. I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll join the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. You think Ron and Indy have any strength in themselves? No. As a matter of fact, I'm going to suspect that if they didn't have each other to pick themselves each other up throughout the day, they'd never make it. And only that is because God is providing strength that man cannot give them. God, you are my sovereign God. You are my strength. And then I like this. I close our book with the testing of our faith. When our faith is tested, it's because God will allow it to happen to take us to higher places. He says, you will make my feet like the feet of deer. You will take me to higher places. It's the thought of, God, I could never grow to where I needed to grow had this not happened in my life. My faith would never reach that level had you not allowed this to happen in my life. God, I know that in the testing of my faith, you will carry me. You will allow me to go to a higher plane, a higher place. Ryan and Andy, Linda Dietcher, I could call many names of people sitting out here. Those of us, we look back and we see God work in your life, and he's taken you to a place you would never be. And many of us don't want to admit it. Your faith is stronger than ours because of that. You understand the grace and mercy of God more than we do. You're at a higher place. God has taken you there. You say, but I didn't want that. No, but God's sovereign. That was part of his plan for all of us. And whatever happens in our life is a part of his plan for all of his children, because God is sovereign. And he has to work, and he works through his children. So sometimes it's through a sickness that our faith is tested, and we're told we have cancer and there's nothing else they can do. Sometimes God takes our children, allows them to go be with him, and we grieve over them, and yet in the testing of our faith, we find out more about God than we ever could had everything been smooth sailing. Or it may be he just pulls a rug out from under us, and our security and our hope, and where we found sustenance and life through work or whatever. That happens. Undeserving. You don't even deserve it to happen. I'm going to ask Dan Stone to come. Dan, if you would, share one more testimony. Matt, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to do it because I believe the Spirit of God wants us to. All those choir people that went down, I want you to come back up. And whoever's running that track upstairs, I want you to get the track ready, because I want all of us this morning to end our service either at the altar praying and singing that song, or believing that when our faith is tested, that we do believe that our God is the lifter of our head. We're going to praise him regardless of the outcome, that I will trust you no matter what. Dan, share a little bit about what happened to you a few years ago.
Yes.
And how God helped you through that and what you learned through that. And then I'll come back and close this out.
Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to publicly give God praise, glory, and honor that he so deserves. For most of you, you know that for 32 years, I've been in the auto auction business, and it's been a blessing to be in that business. But 25 years of that was in management, and the last 7 years of that was me being allowed to be a contract auctioneer to be able to work for various auction companies. In April of 2015, I was in a meeting, and one of the auctioneers shared that his brother was one of the managers at the auction had become seriously sick. They didn't even know if he was going to make it during the week. There's about 32 of us in the room. And he simply said, I would like Dan Stone to pray. I took that opportunity and I prayed because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That first week turned into 3 weeks. And we had a new general manager that was from Florida, a young lady, about 30 years old. And she took me out of the meeting and she said, Dan, I want you to share and pray today. And I went in that room and I led 32 people in a sinner's prayer who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 3 weeks turned into 5 weeks. And on the fifth week, I simply shared a story about Job in the Bible, Joseph in the Bible, and about a music artist whose life was literally saved by a woman who came by his mother and handed her a Bible. And he has been a blessing to thousands of people through his ministry and music. But during that time, I even honored the veterans because it was Memorial Day weekend on May the 22nd. And I prayed. On that Friday morning, I was with Benet. I received a phone call. It was the new general manager of the auction. She said, Dan, your values, your beliefs, your Christian faith is not what I want at this auction. They're not mine, and they're not this company's. Your service as an auctioneer is no longer needed. I was devastated. 29 years working in a career. I didn't know what to do. But you know what? Thank God for my wife who believes in prayer, who stands upon the word of God, and who has been my answered prayer, who I prayed for 36 years ago, because I was really strict with God. I said, I want somebody who loves me, who sings and prays, and plays the piano. And guess what I got? I got Benet. But I'm telling you, it was a hard journey. The pastor has preached this message directly to me. I found myself in Habakkuk asking those same questions. God, why don't you help me? Why don't you hear me? Why don't you handle this situation? Because you're God. You can do that. How long must it go on? Why won't you do it? I'm there. I'm asking these questions. I didn't know what was going to happen. I said, why won't you do this? I did what you thought you wanted me to do. Share the gospel. Leave people to know you. And I had to learn during this time that the issues and the troubles that I'm going through, they're not under my control. They are under God's control. And two things is going to happen. Either he's going to change it, or he's going to get glory from it. And you know what? In the last 3 years, losing your job, God's been faithful. He's been merciful. People's been calling me. I've never missed a car payment. I've never missed a house payment. I got food at home to eat when I go home today. It's amazing that when you're facing a dilemma in your life or a situation, you want to change that dilemma? Praise is the way to change it. Praise is the vehicle that brings God on the scene and changes it. because God inhabits the praises of his people. You create a throne for God to inhabit. And then I find myself at Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, for me, Dan, declares the Lord, is to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And then I have auctioneers that we travel a circuit every week, and car dealers, they come up to me and they go, Dan, it just wasn't right what they did to you. What are you going to do about it? I say, it's all under control. It's all under control. I say, what do you want, Dan? I go, well, I'll be honest with you. I think they owe me my job back. I think they owe me 3 years of payback. I'm just being honest with you. Because I'm reminded of Hebrews 10:30. Do you know what it says there? It says, God is a just God, and he will repay the exact, not some, the exact compensation that is owed you. And he will settle and solve the cases of his people. That's what it says in his word. But I still find myself asking, how long and when will this end, this 3-year time? I'm reminded of Habakkuk 2:3. And Habakkuk 2, I will stand. The preacher preached on it last week. I will wait. I will watch and see what God does. I will listen to hear what God speaks. And I will live by faith. And then he says, the vision is for appointed time. Though it tarries, wait earnestly upon it. For surely it will come. I have no idea what you're facing, but I know this. Manheim Auto Auction wasn't my source. God is my source. God is my source. I have no idea, again, what you're facing today, the hundreds of people that are here. But I can tell you one thing. We have hope. We serve a Jesus who's alive and well and who's seated at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? He still answers prayer. Oh, you just missed a good time to shout. He still answers prayers. He's worthy of our praise. I've shared with you what my family and I've been going through. I ask simply for you to do one thing for me. Just one. Pray for me and my family that God will use us to be a blessing to other people, and that when we come in contact with people, they will see that there's something different about us, that they see Jesus in us. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Dan. And I know some of you out there identify with that. I don't know where Tom Allen slipped off to. Tom, does that sound familiar to you? A lot of things like that. We see it every day. I hope that this little book of Habakkuk has encouraged you. I hope that this time, I'm a little bit already begrudging that we're through with this little book because it's so rich. But there's only 3 chapters. We're at the end of it. And I've learned in my life, and my prayer is that as we move forward in our faith, that when it's tested, that we know that God is going to be faithful.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.